And now in the book of Romans, chapter 10. While you're finding your place under the spotlight today and presenting a special program in the Sunday evening worship service is the junior high department. They had 40 in there this morning. That's just 7th and 8th graders. And Brother and Ms. Hoover and a few others that have gotten a little bit beyond that. But 40 in the junior high. They are under the spotlight today, and they'll be presenting a program tonight. So tonight, a double header, the junior high and our missionaries, the WIM. So I hope that you'll be in your place for this very special time. And now Romans chapter 10. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. In this great chapter, after we pause in a moment of prayer. And now, Heavenly Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit would deepen our understanding of our business, of the reason for which we exist, and give us missionary hearts all, that we might be missionaries wherever we are, proclaiming, communicating, and living the gospel of redeeming grace. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for his sake, and with thanksgiving, amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, or the non-Jew, or the Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever, did you get that? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Dr. Robert Wilder, a missionary to India, gives this account of one of his experiences. On a Saturday night, when he went into the dining room of a large hotel, he was seated at the same table with a naval officer and several of the enlisted men from his ship. The conversation began. Dr. Wilder introduced himself and stated his business in India. And quick as a flash, the naval officer said, "Why don't these missionaries stay at home and let these people alone, minding their own business?" And Dr. Wilder said, "Sir, if you were told to go to Constantinople and lead the envoy of ships into that harbor, and I said to you, why don't you stay here in India? There's plenty of water here, and there's plenty of coast to protect here. Why don't you stay here and mind your business?" Like lightning, the young naval officer said, "I'd tell you to mind your business. Because if I were given a government order to go to Constantinople or any other port, I would go, even if it meant the sinking of every ship and the drowning of every sailor." "You are quite right," said Dr. Wilder. "You would go on government orders. Well, I'm here in India under divine governmental orders." The thing that is nearest my heart today, now I want everybody's undivided attention, young and old. The thing that is nearest my heart today is missions. Worth Baptist Church is known all over this nation as being one of the strongest missionary churches of its size in the United States. If we could see the heart of God today, I believe that the thing that is nearest God's heart is missions. I trust that I can show you the truth of that statement as I speak to you from the subject, why I believe in missions. Do you believe in missions? Do you practice missions? Why I believe in missions. Number one, I believe in missions because it is the only formula that God used in the Old Testament economy. The door of redemption swings on the hinge of missions. Human history began in the Garden of Eden. There in the Garden of Eden, God placed Adam and Eve and God set certain restrictions on them. And beloved, may I say this morning that God has placed certain restrictions on you and me. Somebody says, well, I'll do as I please. Oh, no, you won't. In the end, you'll do as God pleases. Adam and Eve thought they could do as they pleased, but God showed them differently. There are restrictions in your life and mine. There are some things that we cannot do without paying a severe consequence for doing them. And so Adam and Eve broke those restrictions and disavowed their responsibility to God, and they paid the price. So the principle of missions began in the Garden of Eden with the first recorded words of God, "Where art thou, Adam?" And ever since, God has called men in mercy and love to himself through the preaching of the gospel of redeeming grace. Noah was a great missionary. For 120 years he preached, and he reminded the people of the coming judgment. And judgment is the most unpopular message a preacher can preach. But let me insert this in passing, and this will weigh heavily on why I believe in mission. And there's no such thing as home and foreign missions. It's world missions, beginning at home and going to the ends of the earth. But as far as judgment is concerned, I am convinced that unless America repents, the judgment hand of God must be slapped against us. And that right early. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Why do I believe in missions? Noah was a missionary. The entire Old Testament economy was based on missions. He preached 120 years and only got his family saved. Daddy, let me say to you this morning, if you spend all of your energy and your time and just get your family saved, you have been successful. Abraham was a missionary, for God said, Abraham, I want you to get up and get out. That's just the way God does it. First, we have to get up and then get out of your own country and into a land that I will show you, because I want to take my covenant out there and I want to give it to those Canaanites and to all the people that dwell in that land. Abraham was a missionary. And what shall I say of Moses? Moses, go down to Pharaoh's court and demand the release of my people. So Moses became a missionary to the Egyptians. You heard what one of the comedians said at a recent testimonial dinner. He asked for the showing of the hands or the applause of all the Jews that were there. A little applause came. And then he asked for all the applause of the Gentiles, and great applause came. And so he said, now you Jews, don't you try to do what you did in the long ago. These aren't Egyptians, they're Texans. But Moses became a great missionary to Egypt. And he brought a people out for God, 3 million strong. Jonah was a missionary. He didn't want to be. Somebody said, well, why do people surrender for missions? I'll tell you why. God calls them, and God equips them, and God sends them. Sometimes he has to whip them. Doesn't he, Brother Wynn? Sometimes he has to turn us upside down or put us through the belly of the whale. But we turn out to be missionaries after all is said and done. Arise, Jonah, and go to that wicked city of Nineveh and preach. And after a detour, 3 days and nights in the belly of a whale, Jonah became the preachingest preacher and the most missionary-minded missionary you ever saw. And a whole city of over 500,000 people, larger than our city, returned or turned to God because Jonah was a missionary. I believe in missions because it is the only formula that God used in the Old Testament economy. Secondly, I believe in missions because it was the only formula that God used in the New Testament economy. Admiral Perry said, I could take you to the spot in Washington, D.C., in a bookstore where I received a challenge in my own heart to make my expeditions to the North Country. Just browsing through books on travel. Beloved, I declare unto you today that you cannot browse long in the holy record without feeling the missionary impulse, the missionary inspiration, the missionary intuition, the missionary endeavor. You cannot spend long in the Word of God without feeling that challenge and that inspiration to be a missionary. You and I get ours from the greatest book in all the world. It is a book of travel because Jesus put us in the going business. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, Mexico included. David Livingstone, the man who literally gave his heart to the dark continent of Africa, said this, I am prepared to go anywhere as long as it is forward. Jesus didn't give us a reverse gear, only a forward gear. Go ye into all the world. Archimedes, the great Greek mathematician, 300 years before Christ said, and I quote, give me a place whereon to stand, and I will move the world. You know, God has given us a place whereon to stand. He has given us the firm and solid foundation of His own revelation. We call it the Bible, the Word of God, the inspired Scriptures. And beloved, if we will stand upon this, we can move a world toward God. You know, that's what happened in the New Testament. Read it in Acts chapter 17 at verse 6. The people that were accusing the early disciples, you know what they said about them? Listen to this. They said, these men are turning the world upside down. If we join hands and hearts and heads, we can stand on the Word of God and turn the world upside down for Jesus. I believe in missions because it is God's only formula. In the book of Acts, I've often wondered why it wasn't called action, because that's what it is. Well, Acts is just a shortened word for action. The book of action. Action. People say, well, I want to be where the action is. Here it is, in the Word of God. You want to be where the action is? You want the now generation? You want that which is relevant to our times? There's nothing more relevant than the book of Acts to the 20th century. Nothing. I defy any man to find any book or any formula or anything that is more relevant to our generation and our times than the book of Acts. It's related, brother. Today, tomorrow, and all of the tomorrows of the future. There are two notable missionaries in the book of Acts. One of them is called Peter. The other is called Paul. In the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, there's an intriguing story. I hope it'll be interesting enough to keep you awake. A very intriguing story. Listen to it. Peter is in Joppa. A man by the name of Cornelius is in Caesarea. God is in both places. God said to Cornelius, there's a man down in Joppa by the name of Simon Peter. I want you to send for him and bring him to Caesarea. We're going to open up a new door. And so Cornelius, being an obedient man, called his servants and told them exactly the instruction he had gotten and sent his men over to Joppa. And in the meantime, Peter, in the house where he was staying as a guest, was up on the housetop, which is not an uncommon thing in the Orient. We saw people on the housetop when we were in the Holy Land. There was Peter up on the housetop. It was almost lunchtime. And Peter was hungry. That's what the Bible says. He went up there to pray. And while he prayed, the Bible says, he was waiting on him to fix lunch. And he fell into a trance. You can't tell what a Baptist preacher's going to fall into on an empty stomach. So he fell into a trance. And there appeared to him, in a vision, a large something that looked like a sheet let down from heaven to earth, in which were all manner of four-footed beasts and animals and wild beasts and fowls of the air. Remember, Peter was hungry, and the Lord said to him, Peter, get up, kill one of those animals and eat. And Peter said, not me, Lord, I've never touched any unclean thing. Reminds me of some people I know now. I don't eat unclean things. Three times the Lord said, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. And then the sheet went back up into heaven. Somebody's knocking on the door. Who is it? We're from Caesarea. We've come to talk to a man named Peter. Peter heard the conversation while he was trying to figure out this dream. This vision. So he got up and came downstairs and said, I'm Peter. What do you want? Well, said, about 3 days ago, our master Cornelius had a vision for us to come over and get you. Peter said, here I am. I'm ready to go because I've had a vision too. You see, God's in both Joppa and Caesarea. God's working on both ends. So to make a long story short, Peter went with them and he preached the gospel in a Gentile house and opened up the gospel to the Gentile world and became the door opener of the gospel to the Gentiles. In the 13th chapter of Acts, the picture changes and a man by the name of Paul comes on the scene. And they were all together in a service and the Holy Spirit said, separate this man and that man and called them by name, Saul and Barnabas, and send them out to be missionaries. And they went, and Paul made 3 missionary journeys. And on one of his journeys, Paul was going north He hoped to go into Asia. You'll read it in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. But that night, there came a call. Come over to Macedonia and help us. Paul said, I want to go to Asia. God said, you're going to Europe. Paul said, I want to go to Asia. God said, you're going to Europe. And so Paul turned westward and went to Europe because of the Macedonian call. It came in the Greek language, but I hear it today in Spanish. I hear it in Portuguese. I hear it in Russian. I hear it in all the languages of man all over this world. Come over and help us. I believe in missions because it's God's formula for the New Testament economy. If God's formula had not been missions, there would be no Worth Baptist Church today. If those early disciples and those apostles had not answered the call and gone to Europe from whence our forefathers came, there would be no gospel in this country and there would be no church on this spot today. Now you see that Acts is relevant after all, don't you? And that missions are important, and you see why I believe in missions. If you do not believe in missions, the missionary is not going to lose. You'll be the loser. And let me say this. If our missionary endeavor, if our missionary efforts fail, we might as well close up shop because we've already gone out of business. If our missionary efforts fail, we have failed. And we are the losers. I believe in missions because it's God's formula for the New Testament economy. I believe in missions because it is the only formula that God used for His only begotten Son. A rich man went down to the dock to see a big ocean-going vessel off. Very wealthy. A man walked up to him, and the rich man had such a smile on his face that the man couldn't help but notice he looked unusually happy. And so he nudged him, and he said, Mister, you seem to be unusually happy today. He said, I am. You see that ship? That ship is bound for China. And I have on board $10,000 worth of medicine and medical equipment that I'm giving to the people of China. And I feel so good in my heart. And his friend said, I praise God for that gift. But you know, he said, I've got a gift on that ship too. Well, you see, my only son is on that ship going to China to give his life as a missionary. For God so loved the world that He gave His only son, His only son. Can you imagine that? Daddy, let me ask you, what if God calls your only son? Mother, what if God calls your only daughter? God so loved the world that He gave His only son. His only son. Listen to me. His only son. And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why I believe in missions. God gave His only son to be a missionary. You see, God had but one son, and he became a missionary. The inscription on the grave of a missionary who went to New Guinea reads like this. When he came, there was no light. When he died, there was no darkness. Oh, that's the story of Jesus. The prophet said, they that sit in darkness shall see a great light. And the inscription that is emblazed across the skies of time read like this: I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When he came, when Jesus came, there was no light. When he went back to the Father, there was no darkness. In a parachute factory over in England, there's a sign right above every table where every girl works putting the parachutes together. It reads like this: this parachute is the pilot's last chance. Make sure it's a good one. Beloved, Jesus Christ is this world's last chance. Make sure you tell others about him. Make sure you make it a good testimony for him, because he is the world's last chance. If men don't trust him, they die and go into eternity helplessly lost. I believe in missions because it was God's formula for his only son. I have a footnote to my message this morning. I believe in missions because God has raised up a missionary family from our own midst. That's why I believe in missions. And Brother Wim and Mrs. Wim, this will be my last public charge to you before you leave. If your God-given duties carry you into the danger zone, remember this: he who sends you promised never to leave you. I will never, 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 the Greek says it five times, never leave you. Ralph, if someone asks you, why would you think about taking your family, your wife, and your daughter, and your son to an uncivilized, undeveloped, unsanitary country, would you answer them like this for me? Would you tell them that first you have been sent on an unimpeachable journey by an unimpeachable source? And if you get in a tight, all of the armies of heaven will see you through. That's why I believe in missions. I shall never forget the service when Brother Wim came. You know, he was working as our youth director. And he said, preacher, God's calling us to the mission field. I said, how's that? He said, preacher, God is calling us to the mission field. And I said, Ralph, if God is calling you, get ready and go. And for 12 months and 57,000 miles and 122 churches later, Ralph and Barbara Wim are ready to go to Mexico. That's why I believe in missions. Let us stand for our prayer. While your heads are bowed, let me add this important statement while everybody prays. As long as there is one lost soul in this congregation, in this community, in this city, in this country, in Mexico, or any country of the world, as long as there is one lost soul, your pastor will still believe in missions. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that every member of this church would believe in missions, even as we believe in missions. And if there are those who are without the Savior, may they come to trust Him, because this is what missions is all about. And if there be those who need to put their membership in a church like this that believes and preaches and practices missions, may they come this morning without hesitation to join this church. Dear God, if there be a young man or a young woman or a fine couple to whom Thou art speaking about becoming missionaries, may they come this morning and yield all to Thee. Dear God, help us to realize that we don't have to go across the sea to be a missionary. We can be missionaries right here in Worth Baptist Church, right in our own communities. May men and women rally to the call and say, "Yes, Pastor, I will be a missionary wherever God wants me to serve." With David Livingstone, I will say, "I'm ready to go anywhere as long as it's forward." May that be our prayer in Jesus' name. And while our heads are bowed and while we give this invitation hymn, I want you to pray in the congregation. The choir will pray while they sing the first stanza of an invitation hymn. If it's for salvation, I want you to come. If it's to surrender your life or rededicate your life or give your life totally to God for missions at home or abroad, I want you to come. If you would say, "Preacher, I believe in this kind of church, I believe in this kind of ministry, I believe in this kind of mission program, I want to join this church," I want you to come. Who will be first to come while we sing the first stanza of the invitation hymn? While you pray and while the Holy Spirit speaks.